guys, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. We're really going to start and end with one pasuk over here. Parak Lamed Hey, pasuk Chav Beis, toward the beginning of the parsha. It's hard to do a parsha like this when you get all the repetition everywhere. There. I have a whole Musar Shmuz on it. I'm not plugging that Musar Shmuz. I'm just saying that it's up there on the website. So it's right there. Pasuk Chav Beis, Vayavohu Anoshim Al Anoshim. The men came. Now, that's the problem. The word Al is a problem. With the woman is how Rashi translates it. With. Kol Nidiv Lev, all the ones who had generous spirits, they brought all their different types of their ornaments, and anybody who wanted to wave their gold to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he wanted to give their gold over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, I understood that there were five different ways of learning this word Al. Ha-Nashim, Al-Hanashim. What does it mean, Al-Hanashim? So the first way is the way I just said it. They came together with the woman. The men came with the woman. Number two, they forced the woman to donate. The men went on top of the woman, right, and said, hey, you better give. And they forced them to give. Number three, the woman came first and the men came later. The men came after the women were already there. That's another way of learning it. Number four, that the men are greater than the woman, which is true. We all know that. I mean, we're fine with that. And number five, literally what was on the woman. The men took what was on the woman themselves. So let's go through those five different shabbos. Says Rashi, Al means im. He gets that based on Yonas ben Uziel, who translates it literally as im. If you notice that in Targum Unculus, because all you have your Chumashim open, it says Guvraya Al Nishaya. It does not say Im. It says Al Nishaya. But Yonas ben Uziel says Im. There are many different Rishonim and Achronim that try to prove where Rashi gets that from, the concept of where he gets that Al means Im. And it's all over Tanakh. All over Tanakh you can see this concept. Mishnah Huma Pekude Perik Yud Aleph says that when Moshe Rabbeinu asked them to donate, they did it with happiness and alacrity. I asked this before, so you can't answer this, Josh. But does anybody know what the word alacrity means?
Alacrity?
Yeah. It's an art school word. It is an art school. It's Zeresus. That's good. That is the art school word for Zeresus. I don't know if they actually translate Zeresus as alacrity, but they should if they don't. So that's that.
One word with another word that nobody knows the definition of?
It's even better. No, it's even better. They even, yeah, no, it's good. It's good. They even pushed each other out of the way. That's the way it was. Meaning people were like knocking each other out of the way, saying, get out of the way. I want to donate. That's how they went. In a massive mix together, men and women together in order to give their donations. So it's more so than just Rashi puts it, the men came with the woman. Because again, you picture Rashi, men coming with women, everybody holding hands, well, not, I mean, with your wife, right? Holding hands, going up there, and one in a, you know, in a line, all, you know, snake pathing all the way through, right? But this wasn't. All the people just came coming forth, men and women together, they just grabbed their stuff, they threw it inside there, they were ready to give as much as they could for a donation. So Al means coming together. And that's the idea behind it. The purpose of that was that nobody could say, oh, I didn't know that they were donating this or that or the other. They couldn't say that. It was obvious that that was there. The Be'er Basada, Dave, right behind you on the Bima. The Be'er Basada says, it can't be that the woman donated first and then the men, which is the way the Ramban learns it later on, that woman came first and then the men. Because then it would mean that they walked behind the woman. And we know that you're not allowed to walk behind a woman, because walking behind a woman, number one, makes you stare at the back side of a woman, which could cause you to have bad jerurim, as well as the fact that, obviously, it's not nice to smell their perfume as they're walking in front of you. So rather it means they came at the same time, but not together, right? Not behind one another. The men did not come behind the woman. The reason why they have to come together is because the men said to the woman, can we have your jewelry? We're donating for the Mishkan. The woman, not to be fooled, said, listen, a couple days earlier, about 120 days ago, you guys were ready to donate all your stuff over to the Egel Azov. You were ready to give everything right there. We don't want that. We don't want you to give your stuff over. So they came with the woman. The men came along with the woman to make sure that they were The woman came along with the men to make sure that they were donating to the right thing. That's what the Be'er Basada says, that they made sure that it happened the right way. The Maskil with David says the reason the men came with the woman is because, simply put, they were embarrassed to come by themselves. Right? They were embarrassed. Since they had just given gold to the ego. Right? They had just given gold to the ego. So they thought that anybody who brings gold now is going to be looked at as, oh, you must have brought gold to the ego. So the people just didn't want to go. They had no reason to be able to go. They were afraid that their gifts wouldn't even be accepted if they brought it. So they combined their donations with the woman's donations. The men had their donations. The woman had their donations. They brought brought it together. So it's not that the men came with the woman. It's that the men's donations came with the woman's donations. They brought it all together, brought it in front of Moshe, and therefore Moshe accepted it, because otherwise they would have thought that maybe it was for the eagle itself. Now there is a halacha that goes this way, and I wrote it down over here. Evan Ezer Tzadi Bov, Bava Kama Kuf Yotet, and Yoredei of Reish Mamcha says, number one, by men. Men cannot donate their wives' jewelry without their wives' knowledge. That's pretty good for Shalom Bayis also. I'm giving you guys big tips knowledge when it comes to Shalom Bayis. I'm sorry?
Knowledge or permission?
Without their knowledge or permission. Yeah, if their knowledge is there and they say no, right, that's not knowledge. That's not the real stuff. I mean, you can't just go on eBay and sell off everything just because. You're not allowed to. I mean, even though you say, well, men own everything. But no, this is something that's specified for women. So therefore, because of that, you cannot sell it without your wives saying, here, you can sell it. The other way as well, women cannot make large donations without their husband's permission. They can't make such a donation without their husband's permission. There's so many stories about this, where some Wasserman in LA, when going to collect, used to have these large donations given to him by certain women, and he used to tell them, you have to ask your husband for permission. By some people, that was very, you know, that was very insulting. What, I need to ask my husband? I'm the one that makes that money. But the halacha is that the women have to ask permission from the men in order to do so. The Shach says over here, it wasn't a problem, because the money they got over here was specifically the women's. They had borrowed it from the woman in Mitzrayim. The men had borrowed it from the men in Mitzrayim. So therefore, it's theirs over anything else. I'm sorry?
She donated her jewelry.
Yeah, there's no question.
No, in lieu of money without asking her husband, could she donate the expenses?
That's what we're saying. Yeah, 100%. They could, because it wasn't her husband's right to have these things. It was hers that she had borrowed from those women, says the Shach, and that's the reason why they had it. Now, the Sforno, when the Tosefes Bracha was Rabbi Epstein, the author of Torah Tamima, they both say the reason why they came together is because they needed to get permission, and that's why they came together. It wasn't like the Shach says they could do it anyway, even without permission. No, they needed permission, which is why the men and the women came together. He said the men could say to the woman, we allow you to do that, and the woman could say to the men, we allow you to do that. Everybody gave permission together, and that's where they got it from. The Gabayim accepted it. Chassam Sofer, really, the Mamloes, both say an ingenious answer. We all know the halacha, guys. Nowadays, when you get married, you write up a ksuva. In the ksuva, it says that I have to give my wife three things. I have to give her food, clothing, as well as, time to be together. That's what I got to give my wife. In lieu of that, meaning in partnership, she gives me her Maisi Adayim. Any work that she makes, anything that she does for a living, I end up getting that money. And that's the deal made between the two of us. Says the Chassam Sofer, that works nowadays. But in the Midbar, what were they eating? Were the husbands working? Husbands weren't working. How'd they get food? They got the mon, which meant that the husbands weren't giving them food. So the woman said, so if you're not giving us food, we're not going to give you our Maisi Adayim. We're not going to give you the stuff that we made for the work that we've had. So all of our jewelry, mamish, belongs to us. The men didn't own what the woman owned, says the Chassam Sofer. So when the woman came to donate, and the Gabbai said, wait, I need the permission from your husband, the woman said, you don't need it. They're not giving us food. Our Maisi Adayim doesn't belong to our husbands. Therefore, we can just donate whatever we want. The Ma'am Lois says, they mamish said out loud, eini mizonis ve'eini oseh, from those who know the Gemara. I am not going to take your mizonos, she said to her husband, and I'm not going to give you my handiwork, meaning my jewelry is mine. And because it's mine, I can donate whatever I want without getting permission for you. But and that's the other answer why.
Is there nothing else that they are giving them?
That the husbands are giving them?
Yeah.
Good question. The mizonos is what allows you to get the Maisi Adayim. There are other things. But the clothing, remember, they also had from Mitzrayim. The husbands did not give them any clothing. Maybe there was Ono. But Ono is a different issue. So we can go into the Gemara and Ksuvah. It's around Mem Ches, I think, around there, where it says it. But that's not an issue regarding this itself. But that's the reason why.
Because jewelry makes them look more beautiful to have the man want to be with him.
But that's, so to speak, what we're calling that is the Maisi Adayim. The Maisi Adayim that the woman made, meaning they made the jewelry, they got the jewelry by going to the woman or finding it at the Yamsa for doing whatever they did. So it's a different issue. It's not what they themselves, you know, had or what they're giving their husbands. It's what they had in their own hands. Okay, here we go. Let's go to the next line, guys. And the number two thing is they're forcing the woman. The Lekach Tov says, at first the men took whatever gold they could find in their households. They didn't have that much. I mean, how many guys have gold hanging, you know, just around their household? When they gave everything they could from there, they went to the woman and forced their wives to give of their jewelry. According to this pshat of the Medrash Lekach Tov, the woman did not want to give to the Mishkan. So what did they do? They forced their wives to give to the Mishkan. Mida keneged mida for forcing their wives to give to the Egel Azov. So that's what it means. Han vayavohu anashim al anashim. The men came to the woman. They came upon the woman and they said, "You better donate. You better give." And they forced their wives to be able to go, right? Even though they didn't necessarily want to. That's the pshat from the Lekach Tov. Now, there's another pshat, and the other pshatim seem a little bit different, but it's similar in how you word this. The Kli Yucker says that the women were praised highly for donating their stuff. So it wasn't that the men forced them, but rather that they were praised for going ahead and donating. The men had donated all their money to the Egel Azov, as we knew. So they needed a kapara. But the women didn't need that, because they had never donated anything to the Egel. But nonetheless, they wanted to so badly, they went ahead and did so anyway. They gave to the Mishkan, even though they didn't need to. But they didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu thinking that they were bringing it as a kapara. Because everybody that was bringing was doing it as a kapara. So what did the woman do? The woman gave it over, but they were holding stuff back. They gave a little bit of gold, because they said, okay, here's our donation. But they didn't want to give all of their gold. They didn't want to give all of it, because then if we give all of it, Moshe is going to think that we did something wrong by the ego, and we're trying to get a kapara. So what did the men do? I'm sorry?
Didn't Moshe know?
Maybe the women were thinking about giving it or something like that, and that Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't have known. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, said the men, no, give everything. Don't worry about that. Give it anyway. And they forced the woman to give more than those few little bits and pieces. They forced them to give everything they had. So again, the woman gave a little bit according to the Kli Yucker, and then the men came and forced them to give everything they had to bring it over to everybody there, and that's what they brought to Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why it's Al. They forced the woman, they came upon the woman and said, give everything you got. That's that. The Tzom Sofer says something unbelievable over here, and he said similar, but a little bit different. People were embarrassed to give, as we said before, because if they donated gold, they knew it was a kapar for the ego. So what did they do? So there's a famous mitzvah in the Gemara that Rebbe was sitting in Shir, and I didn't look it up, and I'm pretty sure it's Shmuel HaKotzen, so I'm pretty sure it's in... where is that Gemara? It's probably in Shabbos, but I'm not remembering it offhand. I'm probably very off on this. It might be in like Bava Basra toward the end. I don't remember where it is. But what happened was like this: Rebbe was sitting in Shir and giving Shir. Okay, in the Shir, meaning all the way back there, along with everybody else, somebody had eaten garlic that day, and his breath smelled like crazy. It smelled like crazy garlic. So the garlic smell was wafting through the room, and Rebbe couldn't give Shir. So he stopped the Shir and he said, "Listen, anybody who ate garlic here, get up and get out of here. I can't take it. I can't handle this shir." Okay, so that's what Rebbe said. Shmuel HaKotzen, who's a tremendous tzaddik, got up and walked out of the room. Shmuel HaKotzen got up. After Shmuel HaKotzen got up, everybody else got up and they walked out of the room. Now what happened was, Shmuel HaKotzen did not eat garlic. Shmuel HaKotzen didn't want to embarrass the guy who had eaten garlic. So Shmuel HaKotzen got up as if to say, "Oh, I'm the one who ate the garlic." And he got up and he walked out. And when people saw that, they realized Shmuel HaKotzen didn't eat the garlic. He's trying not to embarrass somebody. So other people got up and they walked out of the room. I still remember when I was just married, I was eating by somebody in Peterson Park. And as I was eating there, so somebody at the table knocked over, I don't know what it was, a glass or something like that, and it shattered all over the ground. It might have been my wife. Anyway, but it shattered all over the ground. So a couple minutes later, the balabas, the guy who's the owner of the house, he got up there and he knocked over a cup to the ground and shattered it on the ground. He's like, "Oh, so slippery today. I'm so sorry." To not make the person feel bad. And that would have been great if not for the fact that his wife said, "Oh, my husband always does that. He doesn't want people to feel embarrassed for breaking something." That was by far the greatest line I've ever heard from anyone ever. That was the best. Either way, regardless, the Tzom Sofer said that's what ended up happening. That was right there. There was another story brought over there where a woman came into Reb Meir's Beis Medrash. She came into Reb Meir's Beis Medrash. She said, "Someone here, one of the Bachurim here, was Mekadesh me." She was a Zona, a promiscuous woman. She walked in, "Somebody here was Mekadesh me. I don't know who gave me the Kedushin." So Reb Meir immediately got up and wrote up a get. Wrote up a get and gave it over to the woman. So that everybody else would know, just like Reb Meir didn't really do this, but yet he's writing up a get, everybody else should get up and they should go write up a get. And they all did it over there. So here's what was happening. Bnei Yisrael was sitting there and they knew they had to donate to the Mishkan, but they were so worried. They didn't want to be looked at as the guys that donated something to the Egel Azov. They didn't want to be looked at that way. So what did they do? So every single person got up who didn't give to the Egel Azov. The Anashim is referring to the Tzaddikim of the generation, the people of Shevet Levi, the people who were not involved in the Igel HaZav. They got up with the woman, because we all know that no woman donated anything to the Mishkan. They all got up and they gave their donations, which allowed everybody else to not be embarrassed. That's what the Kli Yakar says, that every single person over here got up because of the woman, in order for people not to be embarrassed. So that's what it means. Again, the Al in this case is really like its width. But the Chassam Sofer said so similarly, the Kli Yakar decided to put them together. The Ramban, famous Ramban, says that Al means that the woman came first, and the men added on to the woman who had already donated, meaning right in front of Moshe Rabbeinu, the woman came first, they ran in, and then the men came afterward, only afterward, because it's obvious, the woman had earrings on. They were the ones who had bracelets on. They're the ones who had gold all over. As soon as Moshe Rabbeinu made a proclamation, everybody go out and bring the gold, here's what ended up happening. Rabbeinu Bachaya says it straight out. Rabbeinu Bachaya says that the woman immediately ran with all of their jewelry, ran over to Moshe Rabbeinu, took everything off, and just threw it inside the fire. The men didn't have jewelry on them. They had to go home, get some gold, and then bring it back. So the first people there to donate were the woman, and then came the men. The praise about this, said the Rabbeinu Bachaya, and really the Mishnah Gadol, the Rabbeinu Bachaya says the praise for the woman in this is that this is amazing. We know what women are like. I don't know if you guys know women, but I know women. They don't give up their jewelry. You could have hundreds of pieces of jewelry that they don't wear at all. Maybe they'll wear it once a year, if you're lucky. Maybe. Well, this is my Rosh Hashanah piece, and that's my Yom Kippur piece, and that's my Tuesday, every third Tuesday of March piece. And there's just that. There's hundreds of necklaces and bracelets and rings, and it doesn't get better when they get older. It doesn't get any better. They just keep collecting, collecting, collecting. See, this was the Mila. The Mila was they were willing to get rid of all their greatest jewelry. They weren't giving the costume stuff. The costume stuff that they bought at, I don't know, give me a woman's store. Store veils that they got for $3.50. I'm glad you know that. I'm married, dude. But that you got for $3.50 or $10 or $20 or something like that. That's not what they're donating. They're taking the good stuff. They brought out their wedding rings. They brought out their, I don't know, their
Can they give their wedding rings? Okay, no, sir.
Why?
I don't know if you can give your...
Why not? Sure.
Because that was... That's part of the Kedusha, no?
Let them. I mean, I don't want them to. It costs me a lot of money. But regardless, right, they're allowed. It's theirs. I mean, it's officially theirs. If it's not, then we got a bigger problem. Then you probably want Mekadosh, right? That wouldn't work the other way. But either way, they could take it off, and they did. The Rabbeinu Bachaya all sat there, and they brought it along. They were the women were the people who went first and gave up everything, which they normally would never do. That's the idea. It's so funny, because I really can picture it. Like, the woman, like, hearing, like, we got to donate. They ran in. The men are, like, huffing and puffing, like, carrying, like, a little thing of like little gold of whatever they could find, while the woman were just throwing everything inside. That's what it says. The Medrash Gadol says the reward for the woman for doing what they did over here is they were all zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael. There's a famous Miam Loez that says there was one woman who died throughout the entire Midbar. One woman, Miriam. And that's it. Not a single other woman died. Every single one of them went into Eretz Yisrael alive. And this was, where did they get that marriage? That, remember, because of the Lashon Hara that she spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. But every other woman went inside. Why did they get to go inside? What was their excuse? This is it, says the Mishnah Gadol. That the first thing they did when they heard you got to donate, they took off their own jewelry and threw it inside, the best stuff they had. That was an unbelievable line. The Rush and the Daz Kanim say it a little bit differently. They say the woman gave their gold willingly, and therefore because of that they were zocha to celebrate Rosh Chodesh as their own chag. They got Rosh Chodesh probably since the Mishkan was set up on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Even though these donations were really made on Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, and Yud Gimel Tishrei, but nonetheless, and Rosh Chodesh Nisan is when the Mishkan was set up. Therefore, from Rosh Chodesh on, all women were given a chag. Then on that day, they don't have to do anything. On that day, they don't have to work. They don't have to do anything. By the way, that is a halacha. I know it's not held up very much, but the halacha, women are really not supposed to work. They're not supposed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. The question before Chatzos, after Chatzos, etc. But that's the idea of what it's supposed to be. Again, you could do what you would do during Chol HaMoed. They should treat it as a chag like Chol HaMoed, not a day like Yom Kippur, not a day where they can't drive and they can't, you know, that will cause other issues. It's more of another reason they don't have to do work on that day. That's the idea behind it. But that's the reward. So they got two rewards for it. The Chidush Yarim brings down a fourth answer over here. Gemara and Brachos, and we all know the Gemara. B'makom shebali tshuvin omdin ein tzadikim yecholim lamodo. Okay, so in that place where bali tshuvin stand, tzadikim are not able to get there. That's a very difficult line to understand. That tzadikim are not as great as bali tshuva. But says the Chidush Yarim, you can learn it out from right here in the Mishkan. Once the men brought gold to the Mishkan, they did tshuva. For what? For bringing gold to the Egel Azov. People that do tshuva are on a higher level than tzaddikim who never did anything at all. The woman never did anything at all. The men, they did something wrong and now they fixed it by giving gold over to the Mishkan itself. Thus, they were on a higher level than their wives. So now read the pasuk. Vayavohu anashim. The men became al hanashim. They became higher than the woman themselves. They put themselves on a higher level than where the woman were. Says Rav Shur, that's the idea of what it's referring to over here. Nonetheless, though, you owe everything to the tzaddik. Had the tzaddik sinned along with you, then everybody would have been destroyed. It's because the tzaddik was there that allows sin to be. So here's the idea behind it. It's really like this. Bali tshuva, they are on a higher level. They bring themselves, because when you go down that low, you can bring yourself up that high. You can improve so greatly, right? You can bring yourself even higher than where you were before. But there always needs to be a tzaddik. The olam, the tzaddik is the yesod ha'olam, the foundation of the entire world. Without him, the world would self-destruct. You just have people being evil. You wouldn't have that. So you need the tzaddik to keep the world at, I guess, at least status quo, to keep it running, to keep it going. Then you can have certain people that are bali tshuva, they're able to go a little bit higher and bring it up to a certain level to make it even greater than what it was before. I've always found it very difficult. I've never quite understood how that line works. What really, you really think, I mean, I don't mean to offend anybody here, but you really think like a guy who went to Eishet Torah is greater than Rebbe Eliashiv? That make any sense to you? Then in Shemayim, you're going to see the guy. I know you say this, Dave. We've had this argument for a long time. And we've learned a lot together when it comes to Hasidus. So we'll deal with that. But it is difficult to understand. I understand the concept of, well, the guy went from here, down here, to over here. Rebbe Eliashiv started here, and he went to over there. I highly doubt that.
Maybe he's only in certain areas, like in certain areas of Yiddishkeit.
It's like that. The concept. I hear that.
You know the answer. You really learned the answer.
The potential. And that's what I was saying by, you know, my level.
There's a really good tzaddik who's not a Baal Tshuva himself.
And that's true also. To be able to say, is there anybody here who's not truly a Baal Tshuva? I mean, granted, most of us are, I would say, we're FFBs or whatever. Even Rav Eliashiv. Yeah, and his level, he's also a Baal Tshuva. I'm sure there were things that he thought he could have done better. Like that time when he made a brain of fashos and didn't concentrate as well as he did. So, you know, he sat and he concentrated. For him, that's like he has to fast for 7 days in a row. You know, like that for him on his level. But nonetheless, even Rebbe Eliashiv and his level is a Baal Tshuva. It's a different type. So that's a good call also. Everybody is a Baal Tshuva in that way. It's just a very strange, it's a strange line. A very, very strange line. He goes on and he tries to explain how that explains Mishin Nichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha. There's a whole line about how to understand how to go into Adar, that we go in as Baal Tshuva. And he goes in on that. That's for sure. Nonetheless, that's the idea. So there's an Or Sameach. It's an Or Sameach in Hilchos Yisurim is Beach. But it's really in the Meshech Chochma. It says that it's different. Al is literally on their wives. They took the jewelry that was on their wives. Vayavohu anashim, al hanashim. The men went and grabbed what was on the woman. They took the jewelry that was on the woman, literally, since everything they had a chash of mukta on it. What does mukta mean? That they had donated it earlier to the Avodah Zarah of the Egel Azov. And even if they didn't literally give it to the Egel Azov, nonetheless, they might have thought, I want to give this gold over to the Egel Azov. So therefore, the men couldn't give any of their own gold. They couldn't donate any gold that they had because of what they might have been thinking. The only gold they could donate was the gold that was on the woman, because the woman didn't have that thought. So because of that, the only gold that was able to be given, says the Meshech Chochma, was that gold that was literally on the woman, and that was it. That, by the way, does explain, in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei, it goes through the numbers of how much gold was donated. And listen, if you have 603,550 Jews, okay, let's just say 600,000 Jews altogether, and that's between the ages of 20 and 60, the men. You're not including women, you're not including children, you're not including older people, you're not including Levim. Altogether, let's say they had 3.5 million people, and like even give them 3 million people. Let's say there were 3 million people. At the end of the day, there was not that much shkolim of gold donated. There wasn't that much. So I don't understand. At the end of the day, okay, so there's that. So their answers, they say, well, they refined the gold. They had a ton of gold, but they put it in the kiln, in the ovens, and they burned it down to get rid of all the impurities. So even though there was, let's say, 100 kikar, that ended up being 10 kikar of gold. So they lost that much. So there was a ton of donations, but this is what they ended off with. So it wasn't that much. It was just very, very refined. 16, 24, 32 karat gold. That's what they had there instead of like that. I'm sorry?
24 is 100% gold.
You wouldn't even believe what I saw when I saw 36 karat gold.
You weren't even seeing anything.
Wait, hold on a second. You haven't seen Zelf Mupaz or Zelf Parvin. It's Gemara Yuma Nindal and Mabez that mentions there's 7 types of gold. So that you haven't seen that stuff. So maybe Zelf Mupaz is even greater than that. Okay, you got me. I didn't know that. So anyway, regardless, that was that the gold that they had, maybe they refined it down further and further and further until it became the greatest thing out there. And that's one answer they give. But now we have another answer. They couldn't donate all the gold they had in their houses. Because the gold that they had in their houses had a chash of mukta on it that was already designated for Avodah Zarah. So because of that, they couldn't give it. The only gold they could give was on the woman. They were wearing all that gold, and they donated only those things that were on the woman itself. That's one way of understanding what happened, but that's one way. Rav Moshe said specifically the woman put on the gold before they donated it. They went to their jewelry boxes, took all the gold, put rings on every finger, bracelets all the way up their arm, necklaces one on top of the other, earrings all over the place, right? And everything they could, everything gold they could, they all wore it to show how much they loved it, and then they went to the Mishkan and took every piece off. Every single part. They took everything off and threw it in the pile to show you, I want this, but I want to donate it more. Said Rav Moshe, that was the greatness of the woman, that they were willing to show how much they wanted to give it over, how much they were willing to give it over to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh said a very interesting thing, and if you look down at this, I am a little confused by this line. Okay, he says there are four different levels of love for one's property. I messed up over there. It should be for one's property. Okay, there are four different levels. Number one, the jewelry one has at home and the things you use the most. So I don't know what that means exactly, but you take the most valuable thing you have is the jewelry you have at home and the things that you use the most. He says the kelim they use the most, almost like pots and pans and things like that. I understand the concept, but I don't know. Like, is that really... Okay, whatever it is. Dor HaChaim HaKadosh says it, so that's that. Number two is gold. That gold has a special place in everyone's hearts. That he says that gold everyone loves. That's number two, the second most special. Number three, things you cannot find anywhere else. You can't get them anywhere else, but you have them. They're not that much. They're not worth much to anybody else, but to you, they're priceless. Like pictures or whatever, sentimental things, those types of things. Number four, all your other assets, like the silver, copper, whatever it is, anything else you might have. In these psukim, we saw that they were willing to donate. The first thing they did is they literally took what was on their wives, again, the same line of Al HaNashim, and donated it to the Mishkan. And then it shows you exactly what they gave to show you how precious these things are. It says, Chok Benezen. A Chok is a what's it called? A nose ring. I'm sorry, a Chok, the like bracelet.
They didn't actually donate their wives, which I find interesting.
No. That's a good idea on that one. Chok is the bracelets. The Nezem was the nose rings. Tabat are the rings. Kumas were chastity belts, what they used to wear around the waist in order to keep out, you know, to make sure that people weren't together with the Besulas. Kol Klizav, and then it mentions all the Klizav. So notice over here, it mentions the first thing that they brought were the special things that people had in their own, like their wedding rings, like the stuff that they had, you know, gotten as presents. That's the first thing they brought. The second thing they brought was Kol Klizav. They brought their gold. Kol Yishasher Hinif Tunufas Zav Vashem. They brought in their gold to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Said Dor HaChaim. Number three, Kol Yishasher Nimsa Yito Tcheles Vargamam Metolash Shani Vesheshvi anybody with that stuff they brought. Now, I want you to think about this. How did they have Tchelis in the Midbar? Tchelis comes from the, I don't know, either the Muranex nail or something else that we don't know of, in which you get that blue dye, and then you take it on the wool. Blue wool isn't expensive. It's just, it's special when nobody else has it. So they had a little bit of it when they brought it out of Mitzrayim. That was something precious only because other people didn't have it. So too with the purple wool, so too with the red wool, so too with the linen, so too with goat hair, so too with the red ram skin, and so too with the tchashim. Those were things that were just precious, things that were just precious because nobody else had them. But not necessarily that they were very expensive. And then finally in Chav Dalet, Kol Merim Chumas Ketzav Nechoshes, they brought the silver and the copper. Says Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's the order that they brought it in, the most precious to the least precious. That's what they ended up bringing in. That's how they ended up going in over here, and that's how they quoted over here. But certainly nothing in the Torah is pashut whatsoever. The Shachala Torah says that this donation over here, and what the woman and the men brought, helped fix the sin of Adam and Chava. Now how? We all know what happened by Adam and Chava. Chava ate from the tree first. So she wanted to fix that by donating first. She did something wrong. She ate first and then gave to her husband. Here, the Chava, the woman, went ahead and donated first to the Mishkan to make the world run again, to make a brand new world, so to speak. Now look what it says. She brought Chach. Why the Chach? On the arm, because she took the fruit and handed it over to her husband. The Nezem, because she smelled the fruit. The Tabas, on her finger, because she touched the fruit. She pulled it off the tree with her hands. Kumas, because of her connection with the Nachash. As we said before, there was a connection, whether it was physical or spiritual or something, there was a connection with the Nachash. Thus the Kumas, the chastity belt, represents that. One thing that's not mentioned here that is mentioned elsewhere is agilim. Agilim are also some type of necklace or something else that they wore. But we're not mentioning that here because the women weren't involved in the egel azov. They didn't need a kapara for the egel. Thus, they didn't bring agilim. Those things were not needed for that reason. They renewed themselves. They separated themselves from Chava. They became brand new women in a brand new world. And that's why they were given the Yom Tov of Rosh Chodesh. A brand new month, a brand new moon was given over to them. That was their chag. That was what was given to them, says the Shachar Torah. That represents the renewal. Well, with an Abir Yaakov, I wish I could say this out loud. I honestly, I don't know what he was talking about. Abir Yaakov is Rabbi Yaakov Abuchatzer. It's the Bava Sali's grandfather. He was named for him. The Abir Yaakov was so scary, the Rabbeinu Masud, the Bava Sali's father, couldn't name his son after his father. So he named him Yisrael. Get it? Yaakov, Yisrael. So he called him Yisrael, and that's why the Bava Sali's name is Rabbi Yisrael Abuchatzera. Nobody in the family of Abuchatzeras were supposed to use the name Yaakov for that reason, because they were scared of that very Yaakov. So the Bava Sali used to speak about him with just the amount that he had held in Kedusha for the Abir Yaakov was crazy, even though he'd never met him. He'd never met the Abir Yaakov. The Abir Yaakov has two unbelievable pshatim on this pasuk. One deals with how to answer amen to brachos versus saying amen to Kaddish, as well as all these combinations of God's names, where he goes through like all these different names of Hashem and how they fit into the pasuk. And I don't get that, but he goes into how Anashim stands for masculine forms of Dukra, and Nashim refers to feminine forms of Nukva. It's way beyond me, and it's not for me to be able to know. He piles on Gematrios, and when I say piled on Gematrios, he's like 50 altogether. One of the best ones that he says over there was, I don't know why, but Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo Amen is the Gematria of Ho'anashim Al Hanashim of 911. Oh, that's even more so. That's that. When we turn 40, we'll figure all that out, and then we'll get everything. I don't know exactly what he means by that. But altogether, if we want to go through again the five different ways of how to learn the word al, whether it means with, or whether it means taking it from them forcefully, or whether it means that the men came after the woman, or that it means that the men became above the woman, they were greater than the woman, or finally, the fact that they took what was on their wives themselves. And then we went through the shock that this helps to understand what the kapara that was needed afterward. Well, stop with that, guys. Have a great